and reads as such. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourself, your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For a moment, if y'all allow, after selection or the next selection, I'm just going to lift up just a little bit of a topic. Who are you? Who are you? He laid his hands on us. That's why we're here today. Because he laid his hands on us. Giving honor to our Father who sits in heaven looking down on us, covering us with his grace and his mercy. To the shepherd of this house, the angel of this house, Reverend John W. Cade, we honor you as well. To my compatriots sitting on the rostrum, we honor you as well. To all of you, the choir, the officers and members and friends of this church, we give you honor as well. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. To all the mothers and the other mothers. Because you know when we were growing up, we went down the street, that other mother could tell us what to do. And get your little tail to the house. You know you ain't supposed to be over there. Get where you're supposed to be. They can pop you if necessary. So those other mothers, when we were out of our biological mother's sight. Now, I know we've had some singing. I know Pastor Kate has already pulled my shirt, my suit jacket a little bit. Look, you said that's right. But if you will, sir, I just have just a little bit before I pray. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. While you play that softly, Father God, we thank you for this opportunity. I am mere clay, you are the potter. We ask you, oh God, to have your way, to shape and mold me this day, to be in your perfect will. So what you have birthed in me as I release it, that it yield the results that you desire. Oh Lord, we ask you and invite you in today so that you're not, that you're exemplified and exalted, that I'm not the focus today, that they separate the man from the mission. So God, as we embark on your worship service to this next level, oh Lord, we invite you. We thank you. We give you an honor and glory for what is about to take place. In Jesus' mighty name, help me clear my mind, Lord. Slow my heart down. Let me take it slow so that what you have put in me can manifest as you intend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just would like to, I would be remiss to say, if I go any further without recognizing some very special people in my life. The three people sitting, Carter, you special too, but the people on the other side of you. My mother, would you raise your hand? My sister, Anita, would you raise your hand? This is the one we have been praying for. This is the one we have been praying for. So put a face with a name. And on the other side of her is my brother-in-law, who has been holding it down in South Carolina. When I'm not there, he fills in the gap. So we've been praying for him as well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's easy, in a way, to preach Mother's Day, but yet it's hard. There's a rich bit of content that you can kind of peel back the onion layers on. Because it's easy to talk about what mama means, how special mama is, the sacrifices mama made. And that's why I got so excited about late in the midnight hour. Because I know my mother was on her knees in the midnight hour, not knowing how to take care of four little people all by herself. She had some midnight hours. Mamas have some midnight hours. We have some midnight hours when everything in the house is quiet. We are talking to God, whether it's on the ironing board, whether it's washing dishes or preparing the meal for the next day, sewing, Miss Lindsay. We are praying for our children. That the world, the Lord will make it all right. That he'll make it all right. Because we can't be with them every single minute of the day. Oh, Lord, cover them while they're out of my presence. While they're absent from me, you keep them safe. So it's sort of a no-brainer. I could talk about the many sacrifices that they have made, the laborious process of bringing children into the world. Yeah, that's something. 22 and a half hours, Lindsay. 18 and a half, Courtney. 6 and a half, Sydney. I know it all. They say you forget it, but you don't. That's a journey you'll never forget. As my grandmama used to say, it's a knock a doorway away from death. Because I'm glad we feel like we're dying. I could also bring up how a mother's love is unconditional through all life traumatic situations. Because, Pastor, I'm bringing you in this thing. Because when you cry, you know you miss your mama's love. You miss that love. Because mamas can make it all right. They make it all right. But motherhood is an experience. And none of us have the same. In particular, women of color. We think about how we prepared for the children. You know, nurseries were crafted, not in all cases. Sometimes we had the little bassinet or the dresser drawer. They were in the room with us because we didn't have a space to put them. Historically, when you start leafing through the pages of history, going back to the 1700s, 1600s, our history says that structures were put in place. Economic institutions, social institutions, they were put in place to marginalize us, to give us names that weren't our birth names. Because we were a part of the economy, but we weren't partakers of. So motherhood and the experience was very different. And you see that narrative has been passed down from generations to generations. While some of us were able to reap the benefits of financial resources, our folk couldn't do that. So what ended up happening, it ended up becoming a backwards journey. Well, we're taking resources and giving back, not giving forward. We couldn't move forward, but it's not anything we could help. Because history set the stage long time ago. So motherhood experience has not always been easy. We birthed our children with the hopes and promises. And I can remember a story that a young lady told me. She was in Planned Parenthood. And the doctor treated her unkind. When he was giving her an exam, she winced. You weren't wincing when you were doing what you were doing. Y'all marinate on that a little while. Little black child in Planned Parenthood. Motherhood hasn't always been kind. The shame sometimes that comes with it. So history tells us that we've been marginalized. Institutions have been set up and structures to divide and keep us separate. But I would go on to say that we have been resilient. We have figured it out. We figured out how to work with less. We figured out how to make more with the hands we've been giving. So we celebrate that commitment. But I've got a question to ask. Who are you? I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I am. What's your name? See, because you'd answer that question if I ask, who are you? You tell me Daryl. You tell me Squeak. Now, I know that's not your real name, but that's what we call you. You tell me Deborah, that's what you would tell me. But that doesn't define who we are. That doesn't define who we are. I can also recite, I'm an African-American woman. I'm a mama of three. I'm the third child of Alice and John. I'm a Lexingtonian. Some of us can fill in the blanks that way, right? The list could go on and on. But who are you really? As I considered this question, I had to introspectively answer it for myself. This is what I have concluded. Who we are has been for centuries defined by someone other than us. As history would have, our identity has been shaped by space or race. Where you live, huh? You grew up in the projects, you from the projects. You grew up in Parkertown. You grew up in Erlanger. You grew up by Union Baptist. What's that called? Lincoln Park. You grew up in certain spaces that sometimes gave you a name. Huh? Sheets Bottom. What's the other place over there? Over there across the bridge? Oh, Little Florida. What town? The space often gave us identity. Huh? Come on now. Where we live and what we look like, what privilege has not afforded us. Because they use race to divide. They use race to marginalize. They use race to say, your mothering isn't as good as my mothering. But I mothered yours. Come on, somebody. My aunt mothered some other folk that didn't look like her. But mothering in the African American community was different. It was also seen as negative. We had to rise to a different standard. Mothering was different. We have been marked as broken. Think about it. You Google North Carolina Central University. What you read is a historically black college. Google University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, a flagship school. They don't say whites only. So we've been marked. We've been marked. We become desensitized to these markings because we've come to know it as the way it is. Come on, the way it is. The way it is. This is how they're going to treat me, so I just already know. So I'm going to adjust. We code switch, that's what they call it. Well, we know how to behave in certain contexts. But I don't know about you, I'm tired. I'm socially, emotionally, and physically tired. I am tired of having to tell my three girls how to handle themselves. That they can't be their true black self in every situation. I am tired. To tell them it's going to be all right anyway. That it's going to be all right. That when you become a mother, the narrative will change. It has not. We've become desensitized. What are these markings? Everything we touch. Everything we touch. Think about it. Think about it. Everything we touch. What do they call the pool over there by my pearls? What do they call it? And the pool over there by the Boys and Girls Club? The Big L or Ratcliffe pool. All I'm saying, y'all just need to get with me. I won't be for you long. I just need y'all to get with me. Everything we touch, it's them and us. Huh? We go to a restaurant. Before you know it, you see less of them and more of us. Because somehow our presence has marked it as subpar. Everywhere we live, come on, y'all. Y'all know the terms of where we live, the ghetto, the projects. Huh? It's not a housing development. I'm just telling y'all, y'all got to get with me. Because they expect to see certain things that mark us. Bicycles on the front porch. Huh? Sofas on the front porch. They expect to see certain things. Oh, y'all better say amen. This ain't your traditional Mother's Day message. Pastor probably ain't gonna ask me to speak on Mother's Day. has been marked. All you got to Google is NC report card. They have dubbed Lexington Middle School as poor performing. Charles England, Lexington City Schools is high poverty. 90% of our students receive free and reduced price lunch. Come on, Roland, you know what I'm talking about. They have marked us. Huh? These are negative ways. As women, we have been marked on the social scale, political scale, economic scale, and it has been predetermined, right? That has never also been in the conversation. In other words, we have not been allowed to sit at the table. We have not allowed to exercise our voice. We don't know even how to do it. Because the structures and things that have been put in place that are underlying has shut us out. We've never been included about what our families need. Because they're so quick to throw programs at us. Programs. 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 Come on, I hear you, sister. Stay with me. Programs. The narrative that has been written has been disguised as the American dream. However, the American dream is only that when we can fully participate. Come on now. I don't know about you, but I haven't been able to participate because I have to go to war every time I stand up for one of our little black children. When they deserve to be in those academically gifted classes, I go to war. When they're labeling them as ADHD, ILELD, EMD, all those acronyms, I go to war. We have to be a part of the conversation. Huh? We're given the crumbs from our master's table. And we're supposed to enjoy it. We're supposed to feel good about it. Huh? Motherhood hadn't been easy for everybody. Opportunity, access hasn't been fair to everybody. This parallel life that we live, this duplicity of our walk, where we walk, as I read in the scriptures, in this world, but we're not of this world. We walk duplicit in our native culture, trying to define and find a way to manage it within the hierarchy of this nation that has been built on Eurocentric values. Come on, y'all. Eurocentric values. See, they made the determination many, many years ago how we were to be categorized. Everything but white was right. Everything. Everything was measured by black and white. But who are we? Who are we? Who are we? The word indicates that we are powerful beyond measure. That we were taken from the rib, ladies, of Adam. The Proverbs women, that woman that describes us as respected, caring, family-oriented, respectful, and busy. Women in the Bible show the strength and determination to suffer through the commitment. The commitment. We commit to the inconvenience. See, as I read and prepared for this particular occasion, every scripture that I looked, the women were the silent partners. We were the silent partners. We ebbed and flowed where Jesus went in the New Testament. Everywhere he went, we were there. We were there when they crucified him. We were there when they hung him high and stretched him wide. We were there. When he was teaching and preaching, we were there. We were taking it all in. We were there to anoint. We were there to get the good news that he had risen just as he said. We walk parallel with our Savior. We walk parallel with him. It is committing to the inconvenience that is difficult. Committing to the inconvenience means that I have to be comfortable. Oh, Lord. Thank you. releasing my child into service.
All right.
And that's deep, y'all. Right? Deborah, he. We've got to commit to the inconvenience to let Jehiah go.
Well.
We got to commit to it. Huh? Just like Jesus and Samuel. Their mothers had to commit to committing their children to God, but also commit to releasing them to the inconvenient truth that the world isn't kind. But the question is, who are you? Now I'm going to tell you who you are. Now I know what your birth certificate says. I know what your nicknames are. I know all those things. What we call each other in our sister conversation. But we are the gatekeepers. Somebody ought to say man on that one. We are the gatekeepers. Mamas, we are the gatekeepers. The gatekeepers of our history. I learned more about my family from my aunt because she shared the knowledge. Huh? The gatekeepers of our history. That when my mama was standing, my grandmama was standing and ironing with that old cast iron iron, she had a moan because she knew the world wasn't going to be kind. So she kept that moan in her pocket. So when times got hard, she pulled out the moan. She pulled out that prayer that she kept hidden in her bosom when times got hard in the midnight hour. We are the gatekeepers of a culture. The culture of chitlins, collard greens, potato salad. Huh? Green beans. Come on, y'all. Ram can't like that cornbread. That cake that they bake from scratch, that's a part of our culture. The rhythm and blues. As Wanda would articulate in her poem, why did you make me black? He made us black because we're special. Our arms are always out to open to receive other people. Our love goes from heart to heart and breast to breast. We've always got room for someone else. Tradition, a struggle. We are the gatekeepers of the struggle. Because we rightfully define that struggle to our children. This is how it is. I gotta teach you how to walk in all places. I gotta teach you how to navigate this thing. We are the gatekeepers. We are the gatekeepers of that history. They tried to snuff it out. They tried to tell us our history is important. They tried to push us aside. They tried to shove us in the corner. Them people, they gentrified our communities, stripping it of all its value, moving us where we can't no longer afford to live, taking things, not only us, but Native Americans as well. Oh my God, I wish I had somebody praying with me. You are the gatekeepers of your children's faith. You are the gatekeepers of your children's faith. Now, Gil, I'm going to use you for a moment. His mother was the gatekeeper of his faith. And the reason why, how I know, because where is he? Where is he? He knows that he needs to be here. Because his mama said church is important. This corporate worship is important. Linking up with your brothers and sisters is important. Learning about how to give God thanks is important. Praying and shouting, whatever it is, however you exercise your worship, it is important. So she's the gatekeeper of your faith. Teaching our kids that all things are possible. Nothing is impossible. By his stripes we are healed. Wait upon the Lord. You shall renew your strength. Mount up with wings as eagles. Walk and not be weary. Run and not faint. And I might have had that a little backwards. But you know what I mean. The keepers of our faith pushing us to trust him. Pushing us to lean on him when things look dark. Oh my God. They taught us how to pray. They taught us. Because they are the gatekeepers of our faith. So we got to continue to tell the story. That's why we see so many lost children. Because we forgot to be the keepers gatekeepers of faith. They don't know where to go. They're committing suicide, doing all manners of things because we haven't told them how to lean and trust on Jesus. What was good for us ain't good for them, but I doggone tell you, it was good for my grandmama and it didn't die at me. It is good enough for me. It's good enough for Pastor K. It's good enough for BJ. It's good enough for Joe. It's good enough for Daryl. It's good enough for us all. The gatekeepers of our faith, because it's through the eyes of your children that you learn to understand the world around, the duplicit nature of the two worlds, how we walk. It says, be ye in the, you're in the world, but you're not conformed to the world. All right. So that's the duplicity that we walk in. Well, I'm walking in Christ, but I gotta walk in this world. How do I do it? It's the gatekeepers of faith that help us do that. It's understanding who God is that helps us do that. It's understanding how this thing works that helps us do that. The two worlds collide oftentimes. And when they do, it is hard to navigate. Because as a mother, we watch our children suffer. We watch and we can't fix. It's not like when they fell off the bike and we can put a Band-Aid on their boo-boo and pick them up and put them in our arms and that's all it took. This world in the duplicit nature, it is hard when they butt heads. What do I do? How do I proceed? It's the gatekeeper of faith that teaches us how to go through. You are who you are. And as Sojourner Truth said, ain't I a woman? When I cried out, when I lost my children, and none but God could hear, ain't I a woman? When I worked as hard as any man and could eat as hard as they could when I could get it, ain't I a woman? Nobody helps me over puddles. Nobody finds the best place for me to be, but ain't I a woman? My color of my skin dictates my neighborhood, who I am, but because I serve a God. Because I serve a God. See, that's the underline, that's the X factor. That's the X factor. That's what they're not counting on because they don't believe. They're not counting on that we serve a God. And if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be here. We serve a God who hears our cry. Despite what the world thinks, God is still acting on our behalf. The Savior sits on the right hand of God, pleading our case. Oh, God, I got that covered in my blood. I got that too covered in my blood. Oh, I plead the blood, Lord. I got that too. Whatever bump and bruise we go through, he got that too. Because his blood says so. His blood says so. The X factor. The world don't count on that X factor. Because it sneaks in. And it takes them by surprise when they think they're in charge. God hurry up and backs them up and flips the script. You're not in charge because those are my people. And in the reading in Galatians, he said, who are we? We are heirs and joint heirs. That's who we are. We are the gatekeepers of our narrative. We are the gatekeepers of our narrative. Making it uncomfortable for others. Rewriting the portrayal that we are angry black women. Yes, I'm angry. Because I'm tired of being tired of trying to prove to somebody else that I'm worthy. That I'm just as intelligent. Huh? That I'm just as intelligent. I'm just as caring. I'm just as loving. I can have a family and it's not ugly. I can keep a husband. I can keep a house. I can keep a job. I'm not lazy. My kids aren't ill-mannered. I am tired of fighting that narrative. But the one thing we have to know is if we join together and stop being divisive, Stop trying to one-up each other. We can rewrite it together. We can be co-laborers in this narrative to prove to them we are a force to be reckoned with. The mothers being the gatekeepers. Come on, somebody. Somebody ought to say amen. Somebody ought to say amen. I am tired of being confined to a stereotype. I'm tired of being confined to make my children behave better than everybody else. They're using race to divide us. But who are we? We are what God says we are. We are what God says we are. We are the share. We share a common struggle. It may look different at 103 than it looks at 205, but it's still the same struggle. We want the same things for our children. We are bonded by the struggle to infuse in our children the skills and attitudes that will equip them to move through the world unfazed by social and economic structures, what they try to do. Who are you? I ask you again. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Well, I'm going to give you some help. You are phenomenal. You are phenomenal women. You gatekeepers. All my gatekeepers, raise your hand. All my gatekeepers, raise your hand. You are phenomenal. Phenomenal in things, achieving things that the deck was stacked against you to do. You are phenomenal. You can do more with less than anybody I know. We have taken the lemons and made lemonade. So on this Mother's Day, walk with your head high. Walk with your heads high, mothers. Strut your stuff. Because you are the gatekeepers that guard the identity of who we are. You guard the identity of who we are. Huh? We're persistent. We're humble. We're giving. We're committed. We're compassionate. We persevere. Historically, we walked with Jesus. We are good. We are powerful. We are phenomenal. All hope is not lost. Regardless of what they try to do, once we ride with King Jesus, everything will be all right. Because he rose again, we have power. We have power. We have that secret weapon to keep us being the gatekeepers. Oppress us, if you will. Oppress us, if you will. We got a secret weapon. Oppress us, if you will. We've got a secret weapon that keeps us rising every morning and say, glory, hallelujah, thanks be to God. We've got a secret weapon that pushes us when we don't want to be pushed. We got a secret weapon that keeps us saying yes and amen. We've got a secret weapon. And we can't rest on that secret weapon. We got to activate it. We activate it through prayer. We activate it through thanksgiving. We activate it through praise and worship. We activate it. You are the gatekeepers of this legacy of motherhood. I know it may not have been the sermon y'all were expecting. But gatekeepers, you have an awesome task. You have an awesome task. And it is not just about you. You move people. You move money. You move resources. You move people. Because I said other mothers. We are the gatekeepers. We move people. If we didn't, we couldn't retell the stories. If we didn't, we couldn't retell the stories. But we got to keep telling. Keep telling and keep telling. My mother raised 4 kids in a time when divorce was not popular. Everything in the neighborhood they gave, they marked us with a name. Everything that went wrong was our fault. We couldn't know nothing because my mama was a country girl. We couldn't do nothing because she didn't have an education beyond high school. We were marked. We were marked. But what this proud black woman did, the gatekeeper, she owned her own business. She kept us in a house with a roof over our head. She kept clothes on our back. She showed us how to work hard. She showed us. So she's the gatekeeper of our legacy. So are you. Because the legacy in all of us. And we got to keep sharing. But you are proud. You are phenomenal. You are strong. You are gifted. Walk in your giftedness. Let your voices be heard. Stand up and stand out. Because our children deserve it. We are the gatekeepers for their future. I'm finished. I'm finished.